Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everybody, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Okay, today's Friday, August 13, 2021. So what's going on? Well, we had a quiet day on the markets. Markets are relatively unchanged, up just slightly, but at record levels. Okay, next week though, we have a few things coming out. Obviously, the overriding news is COVID, but we do have some economic reports coming out. Now, one thing about that, economic reports come out virtually every business day of the year, but there are certain ones the market focuses on. So it looks like that'll be next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll talk about them next week, but Tuesday we have retail sales, industrial production, business inventories, and capacity utilization. What that one is, what percentage of full capacity are factories operating at right now? Capacity utilization. All right, markets look at those. Wednesday, we got some real estate reports coming out, housing starts and building permits for the month of July. Markets will look at that. And on Thursday, the weekly jobless claim numbers and the index of leading economic indicators. All right, so we'll see what's going on next week with that. Okay, we do have a few things today. And then what I'm going to do today is teach you about how to read stock prices. I'll show you how to do it. And I'm going to pick two different companies, totally different. I'm going to pick Apple and Kellogg, the cereal company. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. All right, before that, though, got a few things going on. Let's see. The world's third largest port has apparently been effectively shut down to a single case of COVID. And how might that affect you? All right. The port is in China. It's in Shanghai, China's largest city. And this is across the harbor from the main city of Shanghai. It is the Ningbo Zhoushan port. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's the third busiest port in the world. Apparently, one worker was found to be infected with COVID. So one of the main terminals, the Meishan terminal, was shut down until further notice. This is a key terminal shipping things to Europe and North America. So we may see some supply disruptions from things coming from China based on this. So we're going to have to see what goes on there. So there's some news there. Keep an eye on that. Let's see what's going on out there in China with some of their ports. All right, so we got that. Then we got the consumer sentiment report. All right, there's lots of consumer sentiment reports out there. What they basically measure, three things. Consumers are surveyed. Why? 70% of the U.S. economy is consumer spending. So what they do, these reports, the University of Michigan one in particular, it's done every month. 500 people are surveyed across the country, and it's 50 questions that are asked. And they're asking consumers about basically their feelings towards their own personal financial situation. You know, how things look for them personally. And then what they do, they ask them about their feelings for a short-term economic outlook and long-term. Okay, so this number came tumbling down to 70.2. I'd have to go back and check specifically how they come up with that last calculation, final number, but I know it's based on a number of 100 set up in December 1966. I've seen it over the years as high as 113, I believe, and as low as 56, but that was a long time ago. Apparently, this number came tumbling down about 10 points from last month, one of the biggest drops ever from month to month. It's the lowest number since 2011. And obviously the reason is people are suddenly seeing what's going on with this resurgence of, you know, COVID with the Delta virus and possible shutdowns. The markets didn't really react to this. Part of the reason is that consumers seem to be spending anyway, whether they're at home or out at malls, whatever it might be. And so the markets didn't seem to react too much to this, but it is something to keep an eye on. But that's the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. It is a major economic report that the markets focus on. But again, you know, things are a little bit different right now. People people are not, usually when people are at home, they're out of work. Well, not now. People are at home. A lot of them are still working. So they continue to shop, maybe even more in some cases, being at home. And there's a little bit of a tie into one of our two stocks today, Kellogg, in relation to that. So that's one another reason I picked it. All right. So we got that going on also. So we'll have to see. All right. So today what I want to do is show everybody how to read stock prices. We'll get that down first. I mentioned on the last session, I've had a lot of requests to cover options contracts, and I will in the very near future, possibly starting next week. I'll probably do it in different parts, like options part one, options part two, part three, and so forth, you know, to keep it manageable. And also anybody that wants to go back would know exactly where to start. I'll do everything from cover the most basic terminology. What's an option? What's a call? What's a put? Strike price, expiration dates, basic strategies, covered calls, protective puts, hedging versus speculation. And we'll move to intermediate strategies, and eventually we'll be hitting some pretty advanced stuff like iron condors, butterfly spreads, and so forth. All right, but before we do that, let's get a basis on stocks first. All right, stocks are part ownership of a company. Where'd that name stock come from? It's believed that hundreds of years ago, you got in a gray block of wood with the king's stamp on it, signifying ownership of a company. I'll give you another lesson another day about the rise of the stock markets and where this stuff all came from. Believe it or not, it has to do with pirates, hurricanes. There's a whole story to it. But anyway, apparently the Middle English word for block of wood was stock. It's where the word stockade comes from. It's an old Dutch word also. Dutch and English are related languages. So it's believed that's why we call it stock. All right. Stocks. Basically today, the U.S. stock market, we have about 6,100 stocks to trade on the U.S. stock market. About 2,800 trade on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, 3,300 trade on NASDAQ, the electronic trading system. Now, I'm not counting penny stocks under a dollar a share. That's a whole different market. I will talk about that another day, but there's some things about trading those. You got to be real, real careful. But anyway, we'll talk about those another day. I'm talking about, like, you know, regularly priced stocks, we'll say. All right. Stocks trade today in dollars and cents. They have since April 2001. In my day, we used to trade mostly in eighths of a dollar. Why eighths of a dollar? We'd have prices like 30, 30 and 1/8, 30 and 2/8, which is a quarter, 3/8, 30 and a half, 5/8. From what I was told, and it seems to make total sense, why eighths of a dollar? We've never had that currency in the United States. What I was told is when the New York Stock Exchange was founded in 1792, the U.S. dollar had not yet been invented, so the original currency were Spanish pieces of eight, so that does make sense. All right, so today what I'm going to do, we're going to go to Yahoo. There's plenty of places to get stock quotes, but Yahoo is really easy. So what you do, you go to yahoo.com. I'm on the desktop site right now, but I think the mobile site looks pretty similar. All right, so you go to yahoo.com. And then what you do is you click on finance or finance, however you want to pronounce it. All right, so you click there and you get a search box up top. Now, up there for Apple, we can either type in the name Apple and we can bring up the quote, or you can type in the ticker symbol, AAPL. I mentioned ticker symbols on another session. They're 1 to 4 letters that represent companies, not numbers, just letters. We used to use ticker symbols as shorthand on the old ticker tape machines. It was just saved space from writing out, you know, like the company Kimberly-Clark. I mean, that's kind of long to type out, so we use KMB. All right. Anyway, all right, so let's say I don't know it's AAPL. I'm going to type in Apple, A-P-L-E, and then you do get the name that comes up along with the symbol, so you click on it. Okay. Markets are closed right now. So it's 6:40 in the evening Eastern time on Friday, so let's see what we got going on here. Okay, Apple closed at $149.10 a share, up 21 cents. What does that mean? What we do is we compare a stock's price, current trade, to the last trade on the previous trading day. So it says here, previous close, last trade yesterday, Thursday, 4 in the afternoon, $148.89. So the stock was up 21 cents from that price. Why do stocks go up and down? I mentioned this the other day, but I know we have a lot of new listeners every day. The numbers are just growing and growing on this podcast. And believe me, I appreciate it. I know you got a lot of things going on, a lot of time. I just appreciate it. I can tell you that. Anyway, well, you know, smart aleck answer, more buyers and sellers. Yeah, we know that. But what it is, stocks mostly base a price based on future expectations of performance for the company itself, the overall markets, economy, and those expectations are always changing. So Apple, it says $149.10, up 21 cents from yesterday's close, or up 0.14%. Now, as stockbrokers, we didn't normally say $149.10. That took too long. We would say $149.10. Just a very brief pause between the dollars and cents, $149.10. All right. So if you're reading this on Yahoo, I know some of you are driving around right now, but when you get time, all right. $149.10, up 21 cents, or up 0.14%. Previous close, $148.89. Opening trade this morning was 148.97, so the stock opened 8 cents higher than it closed. Now, the thing about that, if there's no news on the company or the overall markets overnight, stocks open about where they close at, as in this case. But stocks can open substantially higher or lower, depending if there's major news on the company, the markets, or both. Stocks do not especially open at the same price they close at. Another day, I'll talk about trading strategies you can use to protect yourself against those scenarios. All right, so, but it opened at 148.97. I'm going to skip bid and ask. They're listed next. I'll get back to that in a minute. All right, day's range. Today, the stock traded as low as $148.27. High was $149.44. So the stock did move around, say $1.17 today. So depending, like most days, depending on what day you bought or sold, what time of day you bought or sold the stock, you could have made or lost money if you trade enough shares. Over the last year, Apple stock has been as low as $103.10 a share. It's 52-week range is listed next. Low 103.10. High 150 even. So the company is near, it's near the highs for the year. I believe all-time highs. You know, company's doing well. Let's see. Volume is listed next, 58.4 million shares, 58,364,285. Compared to the average volume, I believe this is the average daily volume over the last 12 months, average is 77.8 million. So the volume today was 58.3 million shares, average 77.8. All right, that doesn't mean a lot. We more look at trends with those numbers. It has to do with something called technical analysis chart reading, which I'll talk about another day. But anyway, it's not unusual. Fridays tend to be a little bit slower days with the markets, and you got some traders taking end of summer vacations and so forth for some of the kids go back to school and so forth. All right. So, and also there may be some pauses due to the uncertainty with COVID. People are uncertain what to trade right now. So nothing significant there. Next is market cap. That stands for market capitalization at $2.46 trillion. What that means, it's Apple's value in the stock market. You take the total number of shares that make up the company, which can be found under statistics. It's listed right up above here on Yahoo. You take the total number of shares that make up the company, multiply by the current price, $149.10. Apple's worth $2.46 trillion on the stock market. It is the most valuable company on the U.S. stock markets, I believe the entire world. It is not the world's largest company, though. We talked about that last week. Actually, Walmart is the world's largest company. It's still a fair amount, over $100 billion bigger. We measure by annual sales. Actually, it's more than that, I think. But anyway, the three big ones are Walmart, then Amazon, then Apple. But I'll review that stuff another day. All right, next we have beta. Beta is a measure of the stock's volatility compared to the overall stock market. In this case, I believe they're using the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. Beta of 1.20. What that means, historically, Apple's stock has been 20% more volatile than the overall market. So if the market went up 10%, Apple stock went up 12, market went down 10, stock went down 12. It's historical numbers, but it gives some indication of volatility. Next, we have the price earnings ratio, 29.19. I'll get back to that in a second. I'm going to jump to the next line, EPS, TTM. What does that mean? Earnings per share, profit per share, TTM means trailing 12 months. You take the total profits that make up the company, or total net profits, divide by the number of shares that make up the company, and that's earnings per share. Apple made $5.11 in profits over the last 12 months, TTM, trailing 12 months. Well, a ratio is just one number compared to another. So if you take the price today, $149.10, divide by $5.11 in profit, you get 29.19. What that means in plain English, that's the price earnings ratio, or PE ratio. For every dollar of profit Apple made in the last year, you're paying $29.19. The average stock on the market in the S&P 500 is actually trading with a PE ratio of 34.85. You pay $34.85 for each share of profit. So Apple's at this level is not particularly overpriced. And another day, I'll explain the PE ratio in more detail. I hear a lot of people in the media say, well, it's too high, it's overpriced, market's too high, market's about to crash. That's always an easy way to get attention, by the way. Just say the market's about to crash and you always get attention. If I walk into a room, a bunch of financial people or investors, and nobody's paying attention to me, I just have to yell out, hey, everyone, the market's about to crash. And then everybody listens. But anyway, actually, the PE ratio, you have to look at it in compared to interest rates to give you an idea if it's too high or too low. We used to use, as traders, the 10-year treasury rate from the U.S. Treasury, but I'll talk about that another day. But anyway, all right, back to our stuff. Let's see. Of Apple's $5.11 a share, they paid 88 cents of that out as a cut of the profits to the shareholders called a dividend. It's paid every 3 months. So 88 cents for a year, they would have paid 22 cents each quarter times four. 88 cents divided by the share price of $149.10 gives you a dividend yield of 0.59%. What that means is that even if the stock doesn't move in the next year, and the dividend stays the same, you still get a return of a little more than 0.5%. So what the company does with the remaining profits is they pour it back into the company for future growth. All right, so that's what we have going on there. All right, so that's the dividend. And then Yahoo's got this one-year target estimate of $159.34. Ignore that. I mean, what are they? They got a Ouija board out there or something, or some tarot cards, and they're telling you what the stock is going to be. They don't know. All right, ignore that. Okay, back to bid and ask. Then we'll look at Kellogg stock and we'll wrap it up for today. I'll go over stock prices. I'll read these again and several times, but anyway, give you an idea. Okay, we got two prices for a stock, a buying price and a selling price. Now, I'm going to use, believe it or not, a used car lot to explain the concept. So imagine you walk onto a used car lot. Just walk on. Salesperson comes along. Hi, can I help you? Yeah, hi, can I get a price for a 2016 Chrysler Town & Country van? Just pick that at random. And a salesperson checks and they come back to you and said, yep, that'll be $13,000. Said, okay. And you whistle to your relative, bring it over. They roll it on the lot. And the salesperson's like, wait a minute. I didn't know you wanted to sell me one. I thought you wanted to buy one. Or what's the difference? Well, I'll buy yours from you for $12,000. In other words, anybody wants to sell me a van, I'm bidding $12,000. But I'm asking $13,000 for the ones on my lot. See, the $1,000 difference is the price spread. So it works the same with stocks. Apple is a NASDAQ-traded stock, electronic trading system. They're called market makers. So at the end of the day, they had a bid of $148.97 a share, ask of $149.01, 4 cents difference. What they were saying at the end of the day, you want to sell us Apple stock, we'll give you $148.97 a share. You want to buy it from us, it's 4 cents higher, $149.01. Doesn't sound like a lot, but they also traded 58 million shares today. It adds up. So that's bid and ask. There are ways to play the difference between bid and ask. I'll cover that on future sessions. There are certain orders you can actually enter too. We have market orders limit. We also have fill or kill, immediate or cancel. It's all kinds of stuff I'll explain. All right. And then next to the bid, there's a number 1,200. You got to add two zeros to that. It's called size. What they're saying is they have 120,000 shares. They're willing to buy guaranteed 120,000 shares up to that amount at $148.97. And 1,100 is next to ask. That's 110,000. So they're saying, We are willing to buy up to 120,000 shares at $149.97 as the market closed. And we have up to 110,000 shares available at a guaranteed price of $149.01. I wouldn't pay much attention to size. In the old days we looked at it, but today the markets move so fast, it just constantly rotates. But all right. Next is Kellogg, the cereal company. All right. You know, cornflakes and all that. You can type in their symbol, Kellogg. It is actually one letter, K. All right, so the cereal company, about as far as from a computer as you can get. Kellogg, their price is $65.57 a share. The other day I mentioned a $150 stock, so it's not better than a $50 stock as to its stock splits. All right, but very quickly, and then we'll wrap it up for today. Kellogg, $65.57, up $1.16 or up 0.18%. Closed yesterday, $64.41. Open today, $64.82. Open 41 cents higher. At the end of the day, bid $65.50, ask $65.62. 12 cent difference. Size with 800 on both bid and ask. That's 80,000 shares. Today it traded as low as $64.53, high $65.68, so a little more than $1.15 it moved today. Over the last year, low $56.61, high $71.65, so kind of in the middle, more or less, of its where it's been the last year, a little higher than the middle. Trading volume today, 1.3 million shares, average 2.1 million shares. So we're talking smaller numbers than Apple here. That's why I'm doing this. Still a pretty good sized company though. Market capitalization, $22.4 billion. Beta 0.65, only 65% as volatile as the market. Because cereal, you know, companies, food companies, they don't move a lot one way or the other. A price earnings ratio though is only 17.3 based on the profits of $3.79 a share. The reason it has a lower price earnings ratio, Kellogg's sales have stagnated now over the last few months. They were actually doing really well when COVID first hit. Everybody's at home eating cereal and all their other products. They make a lot of other products you see in the supermarket. But now as people have gotten out, back to restaurants, back to work, their sales have been flat. So they're working on it. Anyway, they pay a big dividend, $2.32 a share based on that share price. That's 3.60%. So even if the stock didn't move at all, you would still get 3.6%. See, they pay a much higher percentage of their profits out as a dividend. They made $3.79 in profits. They paid $2.32 of that out as a dividend. All right. So anyway, that's how you read stock prices. Again, I'll get back to this stuff, but I hope this helps. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I hope everyone has a really good day. Take care. Talk to you soon.